a good speech. Something about motivational speakers, inspirational speakers, patriotic speakers. I just love it. And I've always, in high school, I started playing football. I was the center. And the first down of the first game, this 300-pound nose tackle just fell on top of me. You know, you're snapping. And just crushed. My right wrist was just crushed. And that ended my football career. So I've been on the debating team. You know, that's what I did. I love speaking. I love to hear other people speak. So I did debate. I think most communities do this or have done this, where you do elections with high school kids and mayor for the day, councilman for the day, city commissioner, sheriff. I never won, but I always ran for those things. My best friend in high school, Marvin Waldrop, always won because he was a little bit better speaker, went on to be a lawyer, and he would win whatever, and I'd just run again next year. I remember one of my treasured, it may not be their treasured memory, but one of my treasured memories of being a father and taking my children to school, driving them to school. Fayetteville is a small town. And I was on my way to church to go to work, so I would always take the kids to school. And I always had the radio on, and it was NPR, local news. NPR, local news. Whatever I thought was interesting. I will say that on NPR, early in the morning, you can find some pretty interesting, odd, sometimes kind of bizarre stories, like the problems raising oxen in Belize or something. And the kids got interested in that. On a local station, there was a food critic that we knew when he was on, and we had to listen to him because he was hilarious. We loved that food critic on that station. And to this day, my kids still listen to NPR in the morning and listen to more. I've had that influence on them anyway. But they hated when this would happen. Steve disagrees with what's being said on the radio. Click, and I would start a speech. I'm just preaching to the radio, and they'd roll their eyes. They'd go home and tell their mom, "Dad's making a speech again." Political debates on TV, nobody wants to be in the room with me because it doesn't matter the Republican, the Democrat, the Libertarian, the Independent, it doesn't matter who is speaking. I will talk back to them. Whether I agree with them or not, I will tell them how they could have made their point better. And everybody else in the room is saying, just shut up. Let them do the talking. Cameron, our son, we've got two daughters and a son. Cameron, when he was in high school, he had his sights set on the Air Force Academy. And so we were working through, our representative at that time was Lynn Westmoreland, and Johnny Isaacson was senator that we were working through. And so he was really focused on the Air Force Academy. But we got a call from Johnny Isaacson, and he said, "You really need to take Cameron to," and he said, "I'm calling all of the people, all of the high school people that have shown an interest. On this date, go to Marietta, to Dobbins Air Force Base, because all of the academies, it's a big meeting, and it's designed to help students understand which academy appeals to them most." So we went. There was a lot of people there, and big displays from all the academies, and representatives from the Naval Academy, from West Point, from the Air Force Academy, and from the Coast Guard Academy. Did y'all know there's another academy? Yeah, what is it? Merchant Marine, that's right. Who knew? I didn't know. So Debbie and Cameron and I are sitting there listening, and very good speeches by everybody. And then the guy from the Merchant Marine, who I didn't even know they had an academy, stands up, and he's a huge, imposing figure, got on the brightest white, most perfect uniform I'd ever seen. And I had an uncle who was commander of a nuclear submarine, the USS Sam Houston, and he had this was far better than that. Medal, I mean, he had everything. And he stood up and said, "You need to go to the Merchant Marine Academy." And then he proceeded to explain how, if it weren't for the Merchant Marine, nothing else would happen. That We can't fight wars. We can't, the other branches of service can't do anything if it weren't. I mean, when he got through, I didn't care what Cameron did. I was signing up for the Merchant Marine. I wanted to serve my country. So this old man is going to go up there. But that's what I'm talking about. The great speeches that can motivate and inspire, and sermons that can change your life. And I've chosen to model what I'm going to say today on a specific speech that has made its way into history. On January 6th, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave his, 1941, gave his State of the Union address. Nobody remembers the State of the Union address. What they do remember is a 90-second clip, 90 seconds of that speech, where he enumerated four freedoms that should be available to everyone, everywhere. And that's how he said it, everyone, everywhere in the world. And that whole State of the Union address is now known as what? The Four Freedoms speech. Norman Rockwell spent almost an entire year working on paintings that reflect each of the four freedoms. You've probably seen them. They were on the Saturday Evening Post way back then. We've got time for 90 seconds. Mr. Soundman, would you roll President Roosevelt telling us the four freedoms?
In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world.
Political persuasion notwithstanding, that's a great speech. Four freedoms. Imagine people throughout the country huddled around their radios in a time of uncertainty, listening to their president talk about four freedoms. I want us to huddle around Romans chapter 8 today, the 8th chapter of Romans, because I have identified for me, again, this is just me reading the 8th chapter of Romans, I've identified what I think are four freedoms that we have in Christ anywhere, everywhere, and forever. First is the freedom from condemnation, anywhere, everywhere, and forever. Second, we have freedom from obligation, anywhere, everywhere, and forever. Third, we have freedom from subjugation, anywhere, everywhere, and forever. Fourthly, we have freedom from separation, anywhere, everywhere, and forever. The first freedom is freedom from condemnation. The Bible teaches that all of us, every single one that has ever lived on this globe, is a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And here's something that I don't like to think about. Y'all probably don't like to think about it either. little, sweet, beautiful children are born into the same fallen situation, same fallen status that we are. I have two nephews, Landon, age 4, and Grayson, age 2. And I don't know why, but they love their Uncle Steve. And they, in fact, they're in town this weekend. They came in yesterday. Debbie's sister went to Birmingham to pick them up, came back. Debbie called later in the day to ask Pam, have y'all gotten here? Are the boys here? And she said, oh yeah, and there's a little conversation. And Debbie clicked end on her phone and looked at me like this. So what? They ask about you first. In asking about Aunt Debbie and Uncle Steve, they reversed it to Uncle Steve. Is he going to be here? And then they mentioned Aunt Debbie. But those sweet, wonderful, loving Landon and Grayson, I was watching them play time before, and nobody has had to teach them that if you want what the other one has, you can hit and take away. Nobody has had to teach them that if you get caught doing that, you can create an alternative reality. That's called a lie. Nobody's had to teach them any of that. And that's that we're in a situation that the Bible talks about and teaches about, and it's called being in a fallen situation. This thing that happened first after creation, and it was called the fall, and then came the Ten Commandments, and then came the law. Ten Commandments weren't enough, so man created law. You know, when Jesus came to earth, when he came, there were 613 Pharisaical laws that people had to labor under. About two-thirds of those laws were laws of, well, they were you can't, you shouldn't, you must not laws. The other third were it's okay if you and you probably should laws. The catch is that if you didn't do the third that were positive, then they were instantly negative. So they were all negative. 613 laws. We demonstrated that weakness way back when we became fallen. This is what the Bible says about our condition. Romans 3:23. For all, y'all know this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, that man being Adam, and death, our fallen nature, is here because death by sin, so death passed upon all men, upon all people. We have that condemned nature. So there's the problem. We're condemned already. I hate to mention this, but there is a popular Lady Gaga song that says, I was born that way. Well, we were born that way. That's probably the only thing she's ever sung that's right. And she doesn't probably understand. I don't know. But we are. We're born that way. And Romans 8:3 explains how the law, all of our laws tried to fix it, can't fix it. Only God can provide the remedy. Here's Romans 3. For what the law could not do, because it was weak through the flesh, because it's weak, because we're only human, God sent His own Son. For sin was condemned in the flesh. The solution, such freedom when a problem is solved, the solution to this problem offers eternal freedom. Here's the verse that's the point to this first freedom. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Our first freedom in Christ is the freedom from condemnation. Anywhere, everywhere, and forever. Second freedom we have in Christ is freedom from obligation, anywhere, everywhere, and forever. And I want us to think about obligation in the financial sense. You have an obligation that you must meet. I asked permission from Mark at the early service. I'll do it again, Mark. Mark and Cindy, there was a landmark in their lives. They paid off their house. They paid their last mortgage payment. Isn't that great? What a wonderful thing. They have fulfilled their obligation. Debbie and I, air quotes, own our house. It's not paid off. We have an obligation to meet every month, or we will be in default. Bad word. Don't want to be in default. I had a wreck last week and totaled my car. If you ask me how I had the wreck, I promise I will not tell you, because it is so dumb and so unbelievable. I had to tell the State Farm adjuster. I mean, he was kind of insistent. And when I got through telling him, he said, "Seriously?" It's bizarre. But I've got to have a car. So Saturday, Debbie and I went car shopping, and I bought a car, and it is financed. That means I have an obligation. I will pay monthly on that car, maybe pay a little, maybe pay it off early, I don't know. But, you know, it's either pay the monthly obligation or somebody's going to show up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a tow truck. Don't want that to happen. So my main goal right now in this little section is to get you thinking about obligation in terms of debt. I've been to a lot of Sunday school classes and sung a lot of hymns and heard a lot of sermons. Maybe you've heard this term, sin debt. There is a sin debt that must be paid. Instantly a hymn comes to my mind. Go ahead and sing with me if you want to. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Friends, if there hadn't been a sin debt, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's what the Bible says. Jesus paid our sin debt once and for all. Christians, if we're in Christ, we enjoy freedom from obligation anywhere, everywhere, and forever. Fourth freedom is the freedom from subjugation anywhere, everywhere, and forever. So what does it mean to be subjugated? The Jews were under, when Jesus came to earth, the Jews were under Roman subjugation. Now, being under subjugation was nothing new to the Jews. Read in the Old Testament, just two examples. They were enslaved in Egypt. They fell to the Babylonians, and they were enslaved by them. You got a several hundred year gap between the Old and the New Testament, and when we come back finally into the New Testament, they're enslaved by Rome. They are subjugated. A subjugated person has no standing whatsoever. They are conquered. To be subjugated means that you are conquered. You have no rights. You have no standing. And you are the conquered person. You're not a citizen. There's no shortage of historical examples of one people subjugating another people, of one nation conquering another nation, of one people enslaving another people. That's not a new thing in our human history. Hear these words from Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For those who are in Christ, we have the freedom from subjugation. Now, to the people who Paul is writing in the book of Romans, this concept of being free, this concept of not being subjugated, is absolutely fantastic. It's inconceivable. They can't comprehend. They don't know what it means to be free and to not live under Roman rule. In fact, Paul goes so far as to list them. And we're going to see that list when we get to the fourth freedom, freedom from separation. But Paul is speaking. when he speaks of freedom, he says, we are more than conquerors. Remember, he is talking about spiritual freedom. And even if you're conquered by another nation or another people, this is what was important to the Jewish people. You're more than conquerors, which brings us very logically as we look at it, because I want you to see the list, into the fourth freedom, which is the freedom from separation, anywhere, everywhere, and forever. Paul actually speaks about, in Romans 8, certain situations. In Romans 8:35, all the way to the end of the chapter, you've heard this verse. If you've been in church, you've heard this verse many times. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Freedom from separation? He's going to describe it in great detail. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Paul knew his audience. The people who were under Roman subjugation, all of those things, terrible things that he just listed, were everyday occurrences. It was life for the Roman. Read a history book that details what it was like to live under Roman rule. It was horrible. And Paul just listed all of the things that was happening to the Jewish people right then. And he's saying, these things are not going to interfere with your freedom anymore because you're going to be free in Christ. Okay, nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, here's another list, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul knew his audience. So when he wanted them to understand what freedom in Christ meant and how that it was a freedom that transcends any earthly understanding of freedom, that's how you become more than a conqueror. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from obligation, freedom from subjugation, and freedom from separation. That's the good news. Now, I want to leave Romans 8 as we close and do four more verses. Well, it's actually going to be five that talk about freedom, but we're leaving Romans right now. I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Once you're free, you don't have to be in bondage anymore. Galatians, same chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to sin, but by love serve one another. There's a purpose to your freedom, and that's to serve one another and to serve the Lord. A purpose for your freedom. That's a whole other sermon. John chapter 8, verse 32. You know this one by heart, I'm sure. And ye shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you free. Exactly. You know this one too. John 8:36, just four verses later. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now that was the four verses, and I told you there would probably be more than... There is one more. And it's back in Romans chapter 6, verse 18. We said earlier about Galatians 5:13 that the whole point of the freedom was to serve God and to serve others. That's confirmed in Romans 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, become the servants of righteousness. How do you be a servant of righteousness? You serve God and you serve one another. Conyers First United Methodist Church is a great place to do that. I've been here right at 4 years. I am very blessed. I know you are. Cherish and understand and meditate on your freedom in Christ and realize what it is for. It is done so that you and I can be servants. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's an African-American spiritual that I want to bring to your memory as we leave, and this is how I think we should all depart. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And for the Christian, that is the absolute truth. You're free at last, everywhere, anywhere, and forever. And remember this, that because you're free at last, you have the responsibility to be a servant unto righteousness. Be blessed. Thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it. I'm glad I don't have to do it every Sunday. I don't know how Dave does it. It's a whole lot easier to be your minister of music, I can tell you that. Thank you. Be blessed as you go.